Welcome back to the special edition of Fans of the Pro, WWL Sports Talk. We are live from Rouse's Market, 6205 LaPalco, right at LaPalco and Ames in Marrero. Rouse's Football Fridays will help you cover the spread this week with spinach artichoke dip or fresh-made guacamole. Rouse's celebrating 65 years, and we are just getting started. Saints and Arizona, as the Saints open the season with three in the NFC West. Carolina is at Jacksonville as we look at the NFC South. That's a noon start. There is a division game as Tampa will be at Atlanta. That's a noon start as well for us here in the Central Time Zone. So Tampa and Atlanta play a division game off the bat. The Saints should not play a division game until week 8 when they take on Tampa Bay. And so we also want to thank Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, Dine In or Dine Out. The best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. They feed the WWL broadcast team on game days, and we are thankful for that. The Brian Kelly Show will be at 6 o'clock tonight, followed by the new sponsor of the Prep Football Roundup. It is the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup, and a great night for high school football as they get started. LSU hosts Louisiana Tech at 6:30 tomorrow. Tulane, after their big win over Northwestern, they will be at South Alabama. And we do have football tonight. Sao Paulo, Brazil. Kansas City against the LA Chargers. Last year, it was Green Bay in Philadelphia that played in that game. And so this time, it'll be Kansas City and the Chargers in a big AFC West matchup. We talked about some of the Saints' injuries. Arizona will be missing Will Hernandez. They're also missing their first-round draft pick, Walter Nolan, who played at Texas A&M and Ole Miss. He injured his calf back on July 23rd, so he's on the PUP, the physically unable to play. He'll miss at least 4 weeks. He's from Olive Branch, Mississippi, and that's about as close as you can get to Tennessee and still be in Mississippi, except maybe South Haven, which is pretty much on the state line. I say all that.
They're sister state. I mean, they're sister cities.
Yep, they are. South Haven is?
Yeah, South Haven and Olive Branch and Walter, man, tremendous player. Tremendous player. And I'm glad that he's not playing. You know, really good kid. Kind of bounced a little bit high school-wise. A couple different high schools. Same thing.
College,
going to A&M, coming to Oxford. But the one thing, all of the bouncing, the one thing that you saw, when that rascal hit the field, who's going to block him? How many can we put on him to try to block him? Because when he wanted to, he was going to make a play.
Wow.
And not to say that he didn't want to every play, but you could tell when it was a key moment, he was going to make a play. And he was a tremendously, tremendously talented player. But, you know, hopefully he has a fantastic career. But, like I said, I'm glad that he's not playing in this first game against us. But the one thing I'm intrigued. We talked a little bit about them offensively. Defensively, I don't really know what you're going to truly get when you talk about Coach Gannon and that defense, because they've changed it a little bit. There's some talent on that defense. But are they just – do they want to just be a pressure team? And I guess that's the question. Because if they want to be a pressure team, then you are giving yourself up to some explosive plays. Now, you're probably going to make a lot of negative plays. And if you're the Saints, you don't want those negative plays to be, we got a sack and it was a fumble. Or we put you at third and 20, and now you don't have a choice. You've got to get rid of the ball fast, you know, or hand it off, a screen game, whatever it may be, because you don't want to continue to hold it and expose your young quarterback.
Well, they went heavy. They had seven draft picks, six of them defense, and a lot of them Ohio State. They've become like the Saints used to be. A lot of their players, they've got like, I think, five that were drafted and one that was a free agent from Ohio State.
Well, I got the one Michigan corner, though, if I can remember.
Will Johnson?
Yeah, Will Johnson as well.
Second round pick.
Yeah, Will Johnson, who a lot of people had projected to go here.
Yep.
To New Orleans, and I think he's a good player, but I do think there's some some things that you can take advantage of with him as a player, but he's a good player.
Yep, Denzel Burke, they had 1 of 5. I mean, you think 5 players drafted from Ohio State since 2023, so that's not too long ago. So definitely a route they were going. By the way, just for the record, the reason I went the Olive Branch South Haven route was because we saw the other side of football last week, 2 weeks ago. JT Gray, Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Yep.
So he gets picked. I mean, we knew he wasn't going to be on the street long. It's a business. It's tough. God. And I talked to Jerry Sandusky, who was Baltimore's play-by-play guy. I sent him an email last night. I said, just tell John Harbaugh, point to a wall. JT will do the rest. I mean, it's just a tough part of this game because that kid, I mean, here's a guy who led the NFL in special team stops and solo stops. Not 2 years ago, 3 years ago, last year.
Yep. The unfortunate part of the NFL, and I can't confirm it, but is JT a victim of the new rule change?
Kickoff rule.
The kickoff rule? Is he a victim of the new rule change and the Saints taking 2 safeties in the last 2 drafts and signing 2 other safeties that will play every down starter? Because the problem becomes here, let me tell you, it's a numbers game.
Right. Well, heck yeah.
It's a numbers game. And JT was probably not going to be one of those guys that lined up as a safety.
No, I think he only did, I think it was like in his time since 2018, less than 100 defensive snaps.
Correct. And so we're talking about what, 6 years?
Right.
7 years? Whatever it is. You know, even if you go last 5 years.
Right.
Less than 40 snaps. And now, with the emphasis on the kickoff rules the way they are, this roster spot becomes one that is punt, punt return. Now, are the Saints, and I say all that to say that if it's me, I'm not releasing him. I am not releasing him. If I have him for 14 plays, I know in 12 of those plays, he's probably going to make the stop. Now, he may not have 12 tackles, but he's going to be close to it. He's going to
You make kick away from him. You're impacting the play just because he's out there.
Well, I agree. But I think this team felt like with some of the other younger guys, maybe they don't get 100% of what JT's going to give them or was giving them, but they're going to get about 75. And then guess what? I may use this guy on defense where he may get 15 plays per game. Not in the complete year.
Right, complete year, right.
So, look, I'm happy for JT. I had some friends that came down from the Delta, from Cleveland and Broad Street, you know, and he I know he was a Bulldog, but he and Jenkins, offensive lineman for Green Bay, Elgin Jenkins, he and JT did they did like a camp and some other stuff in that area, and man, just a really, really good young man. He spent a couple years over in Las Vegas, high school-wise, JT did. But then he came back home, and that young man's a Mississippi kid, and he's a Bulldog. And so I'm pulling for him, and I hope he does well in Baltimore because he's still think he has some years. And that's the other thing, having the injury probably didn't help him as well.
Yep. John Harbaugh loves some special teams, and I remember when we talked to him the first time he made the All-Pro team. He was in a car going back to Clarksdale to celebrate with his peeps in Mississippi. Take a break. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. We're at the Rouses in Marrero at right here off of Ames and LaPalco Boulevard. Be here till 6 o'clock tonight. Talk a little LSU football when we come back. This is Fans of the Pro, WWL, AMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Fans of the Pro until 6 o'clock tonight when you will hear the Brian Kelly Show at 6 as they get ready for their game tomorrow night against Louisiana Tech. This is the Brian Kelly Show from last night. And joining us now is Chris Gordy, Locked on the SEC host at Chris Gordy. Chris, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike and Deuce.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me.
No, we're good, man. I mean, it's a tough act to follow after all those season opening losses. And then that game last week was, you know, it could have been actually really a bigger win for LSU, you know, down to the wire. But just to get that kind of win on the road against Clemson, man, it already feels so much different than it did the last few years when you were 0-1 fighting uphill.
No doubt. And I won't be using the Dabo Swinney grading system here, but, you know, I thought LSU looked great. I mean, I think the offense left some points out there. You know, obviously, I think they're going to discuss and change what the stupid rule of, you know, catch completing to the ground out of bounds. I think that will be something they'll look at changing after this season. You know, Barry Brown obviously looked like a touchdown, but you know, I feel like, you know, this defense sent a message that this is, you know, looking like the better, one of the better defenses LSU's had in well over a decade. Swarming is the word that a lot of folks used. You know, I think DC Baker used last year, you know, a lot of blitzing and different downs, and they got burned on the blitz because they didn't have guys who could cover one-on-one down the field. And now with Mansoor Delane emerging as a guy that can be that dude, I think you're going to see them be able to take a lot more risks up front and use the blitz a little bit more. And, you know, it was a key to getting the win last week, whether it was Whit Weeks or Harold Perkins coming through. You know, I think that they're going to be a much more aggressive defense this year. So, yeah, I thought passive flying colors. And to your point, yeah, this was the best win under Brian Kelly at LSU. I understand they beat Alabama a couple years ago at home, but that was at home. This was a top 10 team on the road that you were able to beat. And, yeah, this win goes a long way because in this 12-team playoff iteration, it buys you two losses down the road. LSU, you know, in the BCS era, you basically had to go unscathed. In the 14 playoff, you could only lose one game. In this 12-team playoff, you can lose two games. So, yeah, it buys LSU two losses down the road. And if they keep playing like they played in week one, they may not have two losses the rest of the way.
No, I was so impressed. To the point, from a blitzing standpoint, I was like, it was so overwhelming that it just kept coming and coming and coming. And I agree. I can't, you know, watching that game just on television, there were so many scenarios on the touchdown. Incomplete was not anything I'd ever even thought of. He was 6 yards out of bounds. So the fact that they have to relook at that is stunning. This is not what I would call a sleeper game with Louisiana Tech, but you do got Florida next. You know, this is one of those games you just gotta you hope the Tigers are up and ready for.
Yeah, look, you're gonna come back home. You're gonna feel good in front of the home crowd. It wouldn't shock me if there's a little bit of a letdown factor, right? I mean, offense gets the ball and goes three and out to start the game, just because it was such an emotional game last week. You know, you could come out this week can be a little flat against Louisiana Tech, but that's on Brian Kelly and the coaching staff to keep them, you know, motivated, the 1-0 mentality week in and week out, not looking too far ahead. But I think you do use this as a dress rehearsal to get ready for a really good Florida team next week coming to Death Valley. They've got a really tough test against a good South Florida team that just beat Boise State a week ago. So Florida's got their own problems to worry about. But if they take care of business and LSU beats Louisiana Tech like we all expect, it's going to set the stage for a matchup of two top 15 teams coming in next week in Death Valley. So, yeah, I would expect this as a game, you know, let the offense go out there, do their thing. In a perfect world, you bench a number of your starters by the fourth quarter, and you start to get some of these young freshmen out there to get some experience and some playing time. I heard Steve Sarkisian say, I mean, Texas brought in a bunch of five-star wide receivers this offseason. He didn't play any of them against Ohio State. He said, I didn't want their first experience to be going up against Ohio State on the road, those DBs. And so, yeah, I think a lot of coaches look at this week, you know, playing a softer opponent saying, yeah, this is a week we need to get some of our true freshmen in there and see what we have in them.
When you look at this overall LSU team, and obviously you go on the road and you're able to come away victorious, but how good do you think this team can truly be if they are able to put it all together? And, you know, from an offensive standpoint, I thought that you got enough, but I think that they can be a lot better in offensive system.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Like I said, they left some points out there. Look, we didn't even get to see Nick Anderson out there. Nick Anderson is a guy that set the Oklahoma freshman record for most touchdowns in a season a couple years ago. And, you know, he didn't even really do much. We didn't really see much of Harlan Berry, who we think could be really electric. And Barry and Brown, I mean, you know, I thought he would be used a little bit more. So they're just scratching the surface on what they can do offensively. But Deuce, the one thing that stuck out to me was Brian Kelly pointing out the team mentality with these guys, that you bring in a bunch of transfers, you don't know what you're getting sometimes, right? Because of the big C word, chemistry. But it sounds like a lot of these guys are being selfless. You know, he singled out Patrick Payton drawing a defender there on that last play that opened up a hole for Harold Perkins to rush the passer. I mean, if you're going to get that from these guys the rest of the way, where, you know, nobody's looking out for their individual stats and they're being selfless and, you know, hey, let me draw this double team so it opens up another guy, that's a recipe for a championship caliber team. And so I love what we saw. Again, it's just 1 week. Albeit it was a big one, but if they play with that selfless mentality the rest of the way, I mean, the sky's the limit for this team.
What other games are you looking at as you look to the SEC this week? I mean, that Alabama loss, I mean, they dropped to 21, Michigan 15, and Oklahoma 18. I mean, are there any other games this week? It's either kind of a conference matchup or it's, you know, Austin Peay and East Tennessee State, stuff like that.
Yeah, look, if this is the honey-do list weekend. If you got to do some chores for the wife or something, get that out of the way this weekend because there's going to be some really good weekends up ahead. But, yeah, I mean, it's not the sexiest of matchups. Ole Miss at Kentucky, I mean, Deuce can tell you, Kentucky, last four times they've played Ole Miss, the score's been decided by 3 points or less. For some reason, Mark Stoops, you know, their defenses, they play well against the Lane Kiffin system, whatever it is. Obviously handed them the monster loss last year that kept Ole Miss out of the playoffs. So I'll be curious to see. I mean, this Kentucky team seems a lot less talented on paper than the previous teams. You know, not as much pro talent. So, and Zach Calzada left a lot to be desired at his performance week one against Toledo. And now you're going to be facing a Pete Golding defense that's going to attack and come after you. So I'll be curious to see if Kentucky can keep it close at all. But again, history shows us that matchup has been pretty close. It's the first SEC on SEC game of the season, so we'll be watching that. And then Kansas at Missouri. You know, that's a rivalry that goes back to the Big 12 days and even before that. Two fan bases that absolutely hate each other. Both teams are undefeated. So this will be a big win for Mizzou. Mizzou opens the season six straight games at home in Como. They don't leave Missouri until I think it's like late October. It's pretty crazy, the schedule that they got. So that's one to keep an eye on. Then, as I mentioned, South Florida going to Florida. Billy Napier can't afford to lose that one. If he loses that one, man, the words of hot seat are already starting to, you know, going to pop up in Gainesville if he loses this one.
Garrett Nussmeier and his kind of outing against Clemson, nothing much phases him. You know, we saw a couple of shots of his dad, Doug, you know, watching the game as if he were calling the game. I mean, I don't think he even blinked, more or less smiled. But Garrett's performance, man, it was just solid.
Yeah, it was. And I talked with my guy, Sean Salisbury, who played at that, you know, played college ball, played the pro ball, watches quarterbacks every week. And he said what just impressed him so much was the game management and putting guys in the right place. And it just shows the maturity level, how Garrett has taken that next step. You know, as much praise as we want to give the offensive line, and they did perform very well against that Clemson front. But, you know, Garrett a couple times got rid of the ball when he was under pressure and avoided the sack. It's just those are the mature plays you make as a seasoned veteran quarterback. And you know, I go back to the 2019 offensive line. That was really good, but, you know, they won the Joe Moore Award for best O-line in the country. And I think a big part of that was Joe Burrow and his matureness and getting rid of the football and not holding onto it and taking the sacks. I think Garrett Nussmeier, we saw a very mature guy, and it's got to be exciting to think about what he can do the rest of the way if he continues to protect the football, which we saw at times in hostile environments last year at A&M, at Florida in the Swamp. You know, he would take a gamble. He would sling the football and throw it into dangerous territory. He didn't do that this past week. And, you know, if he can do that all season long, it's going to mean great things for him and, dare I say, possibly an invite to New York and the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
And it what it does, at least initially, buys time for this offensive line, who hasn't played, you know, a ton together, to really kind of meld together and become the unit that they will be, you know, 2 months from now.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, again, Braylon Moore and Josh Thompson are two very experienced guys that you knew what you were getting when you got them. And you know, mission accomplished so far. Those guys have looked really good. But yeah, it's those other young guys that you've recruited, from Mbenga to Adams to Weston Davis. they have to mature with more and more reps. And, you know, that's only going to come in time. But, you know, Brian Kelly said it before. He likes the depth that they have with guys like Cohen Echols and DJ Chester, Terrius Kern coming on as a true freshman. That's only going to make this group better as the year goes along. So, yeah, look, they get a passing grade for me after week one, and I think this offensive line is only going to get better as the year goes on.
Well, we look forward to tomorrow night, and we look forward to talking to you as well throughout the season. We really appreciate the time. It's Chris Gordy, Locked On the SEC host, at Chris Gordy, G-O-R-D-Y. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, fellas. You too.
Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are at the Rouses here on La Palco in Marrero, where you can get Football Friday, everything that you need. I'm going to say it again. You ready? Totino's Pizza Rolls, 50-count bags, 2 for $8. Shop and save at Rouses, the official supermarket of the Saints, 65 years and counting. Thankfully, something older than me. We're back after this. Stay with us here on Fans of the Pro, WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. We are at the Rouses in Marrero with you until 6 o'clock, so about another 15 minutes. Come on down, get all of your stuff for a huge weekend. High school football tonight. Of course, at 7 o'clock, we'll have the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Before that, the Brian Kelly Show. And then tomorrow, LSU. Tulane is at South Alabama. What a huge win for them over Northwestern last week with their new quarterback. Football tonight, Kansas City and the Chargers at Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Have you seen some of the security?
For that game? I just remember you telling me last year that you knew somebody that was on, I guess, the special teams. It was Philly and Green Bay.
They couldn't wear the green.
And they couldn't, but it was just a travel
nightmare.
Yeah.
Travel nightmare.
Like 2 hours to practice and back. You're a good guy.
Yes, just, and that's one way.
With the police escort.
With the escort, and it was interesting. And so, as we know, as the NFL continues to grow, the international games will be mainstays. And they will continue to add games. I wouldn't be surprised within the next 3 to 5 years that you have, outside of the Jaguars, well, the Jaguars already play more than one international game. You're going to have multiple teams playing at least 2 international games. What do you think?
Is that in an 18-game season or 17?
Well, the 18 is coming as well. So, right. I mean, the only question is
– that's tough, man. Unless you schedule them back-to-back, play in Germany this week and in France next week?
If it's up to me, that's what I would want.
Right.
If I'm the team –
and then off, and then open.
Well, if I'm the team, that's what I'm asking for. But I think once they go to 18, you're going to get the 2 bye weeks.
Right.
You'll get the 2 bye weeks. But here's the part, though, and I know it because the Saints did it. You don't have to have a bye week directly after your international game.
You choose
whether you want that bye week then. Because if your international game is early, like week 4 or 5, and you take that bye week, man. And do you understand the stretch that you have coming up?
Right. And a lot of teams do it differently. Saints left from Carolina that night on a Sunday night, flew right over, spent the week. A lot of teams now feel like, don't even get involved in the time delay. Well, just go over like Thursday or Friday.
It depends on where they play at as well.
Right.
Because the New York teams, they like to come over that Friday.
Right.
They like to stay at home. And the New York teams, they like to come over that Friday. But some of the West Coast teams as well, though, they will go over early.
go the other direction.
Yeah, because for them, it's almost like I have to go early. Because of the time, how it
you cross the international timeline.
Yeah, and so it's interesting. Depending on where you play, and depending on where your home market is as well, is when you know some of those teams when they leave. I mean, because Miami was one where they came over that Friday. I remember when we played them. You know, it was like, no, we're not coming up. We're not coming over early to hang out and be there. The Chargers, I think the Chargers came over early with us. I can't remember, honestly. I'm going back to when I played in it. I think that was the second game back in 2008.
In London, right?
Yeah, in London.
And I know I said this during the Charger game, but the Chargers, when they play tonight, will have played on their 5th continent. So You know, we talk about an international game. Yeah.
Well, I got one continent we won't be playing on unless some ice melts.
Antarctica.
Thank you.
Antarctica. We will see. I tell you, it is amazing. It is amazing. But you watch, you know, the numbers and what, you know, last night.
It will be unbelievable. I heard Charlie and Mike and Steve last night. I think, what game was it that got 16.5? Was it Ohio State, yeah. Texas? So, yep. 16, which is really good. Really good. But the NFL game last night for Dallas, and I hadn't seen the numbers, but if I had to throw, and its number wouldn't be far off, at least 42 million.
Did they stay for the hour rain delay?
No, they probably had to go to bed.
Some of them East Coasters, I don't know, man. That's tough.
But it's the Philly.
Yeah.
Philly market, though, and that New York market, you know they were watching. But it's Dallas, and so
their
fan base is going to be engaged and watch. But, I mean, just think about that. And I hadn't seen the numbers, but I feel comfortable in throwing that number out there and feeling pretty good about it. But that just tells you the power of the NFL. And I would not be one bit surprised if tonight's game doesn't come in around that number as well. It's going to come in around that number as well. And, they'll be at 18 games before we know it as far as the NFL is concerned.
We'll take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister on this special edition of Fans and a Pro from Rouse's here in Marrero. We'll kind of wrap it up, talk Saints in Arizona, get Deuce's final thoughts on the season opening game. We're back after this here on WWLAMFM.com. Welcome back for just a couple of more minutes here at the Rouse's in Marrero, but they'll be open, so come get your vittles for the weekend. Get whatever you need to watch football and listen to football on Sunday, noon, Saints in Arizona. You're in the tunnel, right? Sunday with Spencer Rattler.
Yep.
You're in the tunnel walking out. What are you telling them?
Hey, kid, go have fun. You don't have to do it all.
Live to fight another day.
There's a little bit of him, and I don't know, I say a little bit, that wants to be to home state. I know he will probably have a ton of family at that game and watching that game as well. And so for him, I don't need the hero play. I just need you to stay within yourself and run what we call. And when there's a play to be made, I need you to make it. I need you to make it.
If it's
trust the weapons around you. Trust the guys up front. If I see an opportunity to move a blitz, to move a call, to pick up a blitz, do it. You don't have to be fast with your feet, because sometimes he will get fast with his feet. And what I mean by that is I'll step up into the pocket to escape instead of keeping my eyes down the field, to where I step up in the pocket and I'm going to hit you with one over the top. Because if you're going to blitz me, the worst I am going to do is pick up a first down. That's the worst. The best, I'm going to put six up against you. But the worst is I pick up a first down. Now, obviously, that's from an offensive perspective. Defensively, they want to create a turnover. They want to create they want to get a negative play. Sometimes it's okay to live to see the next play.
Throw it away. Don't take the sack. Third and 17 is not doable. Throw it away.
Very few times.
Third and 7 is doable, third and 17.
Very few times will you be able to convert third and 17. Very few times.
Flip it. What are you telling this defense about Kyler Murray?
I want to box him in. Kyler, if you go 30 for 35 against me and you beat me, then, hey, I have to shake your hand. But I do not want you outside of the pocket being a runner and then being able to flip it as far as the football is concerned and throw it. So you are going to have 80 to 90% completion, because I want to box you in, but I feel like I can pressure and I can sack you in that pocket. He gets outside of the pocket, we got trouble.
We will find out. All the naysayers. We begin on Sunday at noon. Of course, all of our broadcast begins early on Sunday morning. My thanks to Charlie Long, Luke Augusta, DePaul Smith, the great Deuce McAllister, even Tommy Tucker stopped by to say hello. Come on by Rouse's here in Marrero. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Brian Kelly Show is up next, and we will talk to you again on Sunday.